The healthcare bill lurches forward.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, where it's green, good morning, a good snowy morning, I'm Bill Radke. The Senate moved its mammoth healthcare bill forward at 1 o'clock this morning with a key procedural vote. It passed by the bare margin it needed, 60 to 40, with all the Republicans voting no and vowing to stop the final vote, now scheduled for Christmas Eve. Then it would have to be reconciled with the House version, and the president hopes to sign it before his State of the Union address in January. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live to talk about it. Morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
A lot's been said about this healthcare reform legislation. Some say sweeping and historic, but does it really change health coverage much for ordinary Americans?
Well, the first thing to point out is that for most Americans who get their coverage through their employer, the fundamental arrangement isn't going to change very much. You'll still get your coverage through your employer. Now, for individuals who aren't on an employer's plan, they'll have to buy insurance on their own, and if they can't afford it, there'll be government subsidies. If they still refuse to get coverage, they'll pay a fine.
And what about employers? How does it change things for them?
Well, for employers, all but the smallest ones, they're going to see fines if they don't offer their employees coverage, $750 per worker per year. Now, that's only if the worker has to go to the government for a subsidy. Small businesses will get tax credits to help them cover their employees. There'll be these health insurance exchanges. Companies hopefully can shop there for cheaper plans. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about the Senate bill. The House bill is different in some respects, but the final version is likely to be most like the Senate's.
And what about insurance companies, Mitchell? They've been vocal at times through the autumn in opposing some elements of health care reform. How do they come out?
Well, they're going to be paying in a few ways. They're going to have to insure everybody. There's no exclusions for pre-existing conditions anymore, and they can't raise rates too much on older people. Now, the Senate bill also includes a requirement that health insurance companies spend a certain percentage, roughly 80 to 85% of the premiums that they collect, on actual health care expenses for their customers. This is as opposed to administration or profits. And if they don't, they will pay a higher tax. This is going to be tough for many of the for-profit insurance companies. It's going to come and cut into their profits. Now, nonprofit plans will probably do better here and may avoid this tax.
And who else pays in the version of health care reform that's now on the table?
Well, there's a wide range of constituencies. There's a tax on high-value, what are sometimes called Cadillac health plans. There's a higher Medicare payroll tax on high earners, taxes on drug companies and medical device makers, and on tanning salons. Doctors, though, they get a break. No extra tax on cosmetic surgery.
Okay. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks for catching us up.
You're welcome.
Mitchell Hartman joining us live there. In other news for General Motors, the Saab story, not over yet. A Dutch automaker has submitted a new offer to buy Saab from GM. Spiker Cars says the offer addresses the issues that made talks collapse earlier in the week. Checking stocks now. European markets are up almost 1% this morning. Volumes are low, though, with traders shutting up shop for the Christmas break. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.4% today. The country's exports posted their smallest decline in 14 months. However, most other Asian markets were lower. On Friday, the Nasdaq jumped up almost 1.5%, and the Dow gained 20 points to close at 10,328. For the week, the S&P 500 dropped 0.3%, and the Dow gave back 0.5% last week. European markets have been reacting to the outcome of last week's climate change summit in Copenhagen. As Marketplace's Stephen Beard tells us now, the so-called carbon market is taking a hit.
The market trades in carbon allowances, and it's supposed to be a key weapon in the fight against climate change. European governments have capped the level of carbon that many companies can emit. If some companies want to emit more, they have to buy allowances from other firms that don't need them. When governments get really tough on carbon, those allowances will get a lot more expensive. This morning, they got a lot cheaper. They fell in early trading by 8%, having fallen by 6% at the end of last week. Trevor Sikorsky is a carbon analyst with Barclays Capital. He says the markets decided the Copenhagen summit was a failure.
The accord is very weak. It doesn't have any detail. It's only 2 pages long. You know, it's almost nothing.
He says any hopes that the price of carbon allowances would rise sharply in the short term, making it more expensive to pollute, those hopes have been dashed after Copenhagen. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Good luck getting to work this morning on the East Coast. I don't have to tell you, driving is treacherous. For retailers, the timing of the weekend snowstorm was terrible. It's just before Christmas and people can't get to your store. Wouldn't be so bad if shoppers had all their buying done early, but Marketplace's Brett Neely reports that's not the case, especially this year.
When it comes to retail, 2009 will go down as the year of procrastination, says Ed Farrell with Consumer Reports.
Right now, we have 40% of adults who haven't yet begun holiday shopping yet.
And those procrastinators are buying fewer gifts for fewer people. Marshall Cohen is a retail analyst with the NPD Group.
The consumer has 10 people on their list, which compares to normally 14 to 15 people on their list.
Cohen says the biggest sellers this shopping season aren't really gifts. Shoppers are buying refrigerators and other big appliances.
Consumers have been so thrifty for so long that they're basically saying, if I need something, we're going to go out and buy it.
That's bad news for luxury retailers. Instead, Consumer Reports says shoppers are headed to Walmart and Target, looking for the deepest bargains. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And finally, the man said he needed to get from Miami to Memphis for Christmas. He told the cab driver, "The cash is in Memphis. I'll pay you when we get there." The driver knew it could be a scam, but he decided to have a little faith. He made that 900-mile journey, and it was a scam. The passenger is in police custody. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.